conviction, 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. You'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. The Pentagon makes plans for maintaining the surge of troops in Iraq.
We want to make sure that the policies are in place in this department to be able to provide the requisite number of troops.
Joint Chiefs Chairman Peter Pace after Defense Secretary Robert Gates announced the tours of active duty troops are being extended.
Effective immediately, active Army units now in the Central Command area of responsibility, and those headed there will deploy for not more than 15 months.
The current tours are a year. The extensions will apply to Army units in Iraq and Afghanistan. The White House is also looking for someone to coordinate war strategy.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, which doesn't like the name War Czar to describe a new post it may create to coordinate and implement U.S. policy in Iraq and Afghanistan. But spokeswoman Dana Perino confirms the idea is under consideration. She says no one has been offered the job, so the Washington Post reports three retired generals were approached and turned it down.
The sexual assault charges against those Duke University lacrosse players dropped now.
The result of our review and investigation shows clearly that there is insufficient evidence to proceed on any of the charges.
North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper said the case should never have been pursued with no DNA matches or corroborating witnesses. Reporter Jim Crisula with reaction from the players.
All three of the former Duke lacrosse players described the past year as a nightmare. David Evans said, quote, I hope the allegations don't define me. Reed Seligman called the case against him a hoax, a dark cloud of injustice.
The charges were brought by a stripper the team had hired, who later changed her story. The Senate's been voting on embryonic stem cell research and public funding for it. Supporters admit they don't have enough votes to override a threatened veto by the president. But the Senate's also expected to approve a rival measure that supports funding research for adult stem cells. A powerful storm sweeping through the Midwest has become deadly now, blamed for six traffic-related deaths. It's also delaying and canceling flights. The Dakotas got 7 inches of snow. 10 is possible in Wisconsin.
It's not extremely rare, but it's not the normal, that's for sure.
CBS News meteorologist George Cullen. The nation's largest student loan provider has agreed to its settlement that includes educating students and parents about how financial aid works. Sallie Mae will also stop offering perks like exotic trips to college financial aid officers who help round up applicants. New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo has been leading the investigation into whether lenders and schools took advantage of students who need financial aid. On Wall Street today, stocks tumbled. The Dow regained some of its losses, but still finished the day 89 points lower at 12,484. The NASDAQ Composite Index was off as well by 18 points. This is CBS News.
Lost and found. How may I help you?
Well, I seem to be lost. I was hoping you could find me.
Find you? You're joking, right?
No, really.
Well, I'm sorry. This is Lost and Found, not Search and Rescue. What you need is a Garmin Nuvi GPS.
A Nuvi?
Yeah. You'd have all the street maps. You could look up addresses, services, you name it. Then follow the voice prompts right to the door.
Continue southeast to destination.
Gosh, I wish I had a Garmin right now.
So do I. Bye now.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. We'll take you there.
They were born in Antwerp, Belgium. She in 1884, he in 1885. They were married in 1905. They were passengers aboard the SS Zealand, which arrived at Ellis Island in 1912. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com and start your journey of discovery today.
A court in St. Louis heard arguments today over a controversial abortion law. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was monitoring.
Before a federal appeals court panel here, South Dakota defended a law that would force abortion doctors to tell women the procedure ends a human life.
Women's interests were not being protected.
Attorney Harold Cassidy argued women have a right to carry a child to birth. On the other side, Planned Parenthood lawyer Tim Branson, who accuses the state of trying to force scripted ideology on women, not medical truths.
A disclosure that tells her this is what the facts are does not leave it to her liberty to define those things for herself.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, St. Louis.
Rapper Snoop Dogg pleaded no contest today to felony gun and drug charges. He was sentenced to 5 years probation and 800 hours of community service. He was arrested back in October for allegedly transporting marijuana. The gun was later found at his home. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
How can students improve their test scores? Well, there's tutoring, cramming, perhaps praying. We suggest throwing a brick at the problem. No, really. Talk to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We can turn piles of bricks into amazing schools, specially designed to inspire and motivate students and to optimize their learning and success. Talk to an AIA architect, and don't wait till the night before the test. AIA, good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for dialing our way. We've got 3 hours to talk about important issues in the news. We're going to do our best. And I declare that there's not much more to talk about relating to Don Imus. I won't bring it up, but you can if you want to. On today's program, we'll kick it off in a moment with Carl Canetta from the Project on Defense Alternatives. Talk about the war debate in Washington and whether the surge is working. Then Cliff Schechter, later this hour, returns. He's writing a book about John McCain, and his website is therealmccain.com. We're going to talk about the April Fool's stroll in the Shorja marketplace in Baghdad there. And the way that John McCain has dialed back from his comments about how safe it is to walk the streets of Baghdad. We'll also talk with Nadia Al-Ali from the University of Exeter in Britain. She's on a U.S. speaking tour focusing on the plight of women in Iraq. Also on today's program, our in-depth undercover investigative reporter, Tommy Panic, says that he's been dumpster diving, going through the trash at Alberto Gonzalez's house. We'll find out what he's discovered there. And in the free speech zone this afternoon, David Cobb, who was the Green Party's presidential nominee in 2004, will join us to talk about a recent column he wrote for the Eureka newspaper. Don't vote for war if you're fighting for peace. You can join this conversation whenever you like. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Our music of the moment is from Bachman Turner Overdrive in the mid-70s. And to me, it sums up the message that Bush has delivered to the Congress. I don't want no timelines. I don't want no strings attached. Just give me your money. And he doesn't always say please. Carl Canetta returns to our program. As we mentioned, he's co-director of the Project on Defense Alternatives, and previously he was a research fellow at the Institute for Defense and Disarmament Studies. Hello, Carl. How are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Not too bad. So have I summed it up? Is that pretty much what Bush is saying? Just give me the money, and I don't want to hear all of your back talk and your strategies and your micromanaging of my war?
Well, you know, so far the president has taken that stance, really saying that this is my prerogative, at least publicly. Though another way of understanding the surge is an appreciation in the White House that time is running out politically because of the last election, because of some movements by Democrats and Republicans to begin to impinge on his war strategy and his war plan, a desire to accelerate and to demonstrate that progress can be made. So one way of looking at the surge and all this that surrounds it is that the White House is scared that the situation is catching up with them politically at home and not just in the field in Iraq.
Well, and we've gotten some remarkable commentary in the last 24 hours from Dana Perino, who's the temporary spokesperson of the White House, and Joey Lieberman, the independent senator from Connecticut, about just how well the surge is working. And, you know, are they really dealing with the reality that you and I know is coming from Iraq these days?
Man, well, you left out Senator McCain as well, who took his stroll there a few weeks ago.
That's because we're going to slam him in half an hour.
Okay, fine, yeah. You know, it's fine to say that. The facts don't support it. I think that really the country at this point requires something more than somebody's cheery appraisal of the situation on the ground. As a matter of fact, overall, the level of violence in the country, if we take a look at the whole country, has gone up. It's increased since the surge began in the period from February to March. The focus they have is on Baghdad, where there has been, at least as far as we can tell, much of this can't be checked independently, which of course is a standard that I would think by now we would begin to routinely apply to the White House and its apologists that we need some sort of independent confirmation that what they're saying is true, because really that recognizes the sad situation we're in, that we really can't trust them on the basic facts of the matter. But to the extent that that there is information out there and the information is gathered by the United Nations working with a number of Iraqi ministries, there's been an increase in violence countrywide. The Central Command says there has been a decrease inside of Baghdad. Of course, the issue here is not whether we can concentrate troops in one particular place and temporarily throw a blanket on the violence. You would expect that to be the case. The issue is whether that violence simply displaces to somewhere else in the country.
Well, and let me jump in here with a clear example. The Bush administration has touted the city of Talifer as a model for rebuilding Iraq and the transition from U.S. occupation to the control of Iraqi authorities and the Iraqi military and police forces. And they were talking about it up until 10 days ago when things blew up in Talifer. And that, in part, is attributed to the redeployment of troops into Baghdad to try to put out the fires there. And this has been the whack-a-mole strategy that we've seen in Fallujah, in Ramadi, and now in Talifer, and it's being applied to Baghdad. And it is a losing strategy. Unless we want to put another 200,000 troops in that country, and we don't have them and we're not going to do it, we're not going to be able to pacify Iraq.
It's not clear to me that even putting that number in would that we might be able to take a situation which is currently, and the intensity of violence there is perhaps three or four times the level of the worst years of the troubles in Northern Ireland. We might be able to get it down to twice as bad, and try to hold it there indefinitely. Now, the fundamental problem really is a political problem. It's not a military problem. What happened in Talifer is, as you said, they moved troops south. They moved U.S. troops south. The idea was to replace them with Iraqi troops who would then benefit from the country having been from the city having been prepared for them by the U.S. troops. The troops they move in essentially are Kurdish militia. The underlying political problem is this: Talifer is largely a Turkoman city. It's divided between Shia and Sunni, but they're all of the Turkoman ethnicity, and they're not eager to see their city controlled by forces which essentially are ethnic forces, Kurdish forces, when the Kurdish section of Iraq has designs on Tal Afar. I mean, they want to control a portion of that city so that they can increase their independence from Iraq as a whole. There's a political problem there, and you don't solve it by handing the power of the gun to one of the ethnicities. You can perhaps suppress it for a while, but under the surface, there's going to continue to be political opposition. Eventually, it breaks to the surface, and that's what we've seen.
Well, and even some of the slowdown in violence, I'm choosing my words carefully here, because in Baghdad, you know, in certain categories, it appears that car bombings are down, and these execution-style slayings appear to be down a little bit. But it's also clear that Muqtada al-Sadr has given instructions to his militia not to stand and fight, but to slip away and wait, or to challenge the American occupiers from different angles and to distract them from their effort to control Baghdad.
That's true. It is true that that they have, though initially there was fighting between them, they have stood down, and they are in it. Again, it's a different way of thinking about this displacement. Some violence displaces to other places in the country. Other violence displaces to the future. And so by standing down, they're not going away. If it's their calculation at some point in the future that the Americans really are not leaving, that this isn't a short-term thing, then we're going to begin to see more efforts on their part. And let's keep in mind that we're doing something that we haven't done before. We're deploying troops and keeping them scattered throughout the city. At this moment, as we speak, militias and insurgents are taking a look at those positions throughout the city. They're calculating how to best attack them. I think what we might see is that if in fact we try to retain those positions, they are going to come under assault, especially if we move out of them and hand them to police and to troops who are less capable than ours. So this is at best a temporary lull. I think that's right, that we're displacing violence geographically and in time.
We're talking with Carl Canetta from the Project on Defense Alternatives. Just about a minute before we have to go to a break, Carl. What do you make of this idea that the White House appears to be treating as a trial balloon, that the president may appoint a war czar, somebody to manage the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? This seems really bizarre at this stage of the process. And it appears the president's trying to insulate himself as commander-in-chief from the clear failures on both fronts.
I think it is that type of political calculation on his part. Why isn't the Secretary of Defense working together with the Secretary of State? We have a National Security Council. We have a president and a vice president. Whether you like what they've done or not, they're not likely to appoint anybody who's going to deviate from their policy. So it's not a change of policy. And you're really left with the question of what is the motivation for this, and what's the likely benefit?
Mm-hmm.
It seems only to insulate the president from these decisions.
Yeah. All right, we'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Carl Canetta, call us now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues 22 minutes after the hour. About 10 minutes away, Cliff Schechter returns. We're going to talk about John McCain and more on his April Fool's Day stroll through the Shorja Market in Baghdad. I'll just point out for now that the following day, 21 individuals from that market, including some women and children, were shot execution style as a message to John McCain that the surge, it's just not quite what it's cracked up to be in the U.S. media. We continue with Carl Conetta. He's the Project on Defense Alternatives co-director there. Carl, let me read you this quick quote from President Bush. It is irresponsible for the Democratic leadership in Congress to delay for months on end while our troops in combat are waiting for the funds they need to succeed. Anything in that statement cause your BS detector to go off?
Well, they're not. It doesn't seem likely that they're going to succeed, of course, but it's also at this point, there's no pinch in the money pipeline, and there's The bills have been passed. It's now on the president's. It's soon on the president's initiative that he can veto or he may not. But really, if he does veto, he's prolonging the delivery of funds, not anyone else. I don't think that we see any initiative at this point on the Democratic side in Congress or on the Republican side to actually delay the delivery of money. That really is a red herring.
Now, one of the messages that's coming from the Republican leadership, and it was parroted again by Dana Perino at the White House yesterday, is that the Democrats should stop playing games with benchmarks and schedules and simply cut off funds for the war. And I consider this to be a very risky ploy on the part of the Republicans because, for me, Carl, the bottom line is that the Democrats will ultimately face the fact that this president will not compromise, will not dialogue with them on these issues, and that they will have to, in fact, cut off those funds. And I think, in fact, the way the Republicans are daring them to do so may actually cause Democrats to become more daring and actually show some leadership on these issues.
Well, it's conceivable. Another possible impact is that you cause a division within the Democratic ranks, and we have some Democrats coming forward and saying, look, we're not talking about that at all, and we don't intend to, and under no circumstances would there be a cutting off of funds.
And I think that's a mistake.
I think it's a mistake as well. I mean, there are provisions in the Senate version of the bill which suggest that funds could be cut off. And this is because, in the end, there are always trade-offs inside of these bills between various areas. That cutoffs could be applied to other parts of the assistance package that don't directly affect the troops. Unfortunately, that would mean cutoffs of various development funds and funds meant for the Iraqi troops. But in the final analysis, the power of the House and the Senate is the power of the purse.
Why aren't the Democrats making more of an issue of the emergency supplemental in and of itself? This war should be funded from the central Pentagon budget, not using these Enron-style supplemental budget bills.
Yeah, well, actually, things are even are worse than they appear because a great deal of the money inside of the supplemental fund would normally be inside of the main budget. We began doing supplementals on a routine basis during the 1990s, and that was largely because of the Republican-controlled House and Senate not wanting to give a Democratic administration free rein to pursue various peace operations. But for the most part, the funds we were talking about at that time were in the $3 to $6 billion range. I think one year it may have gone up to $8 billion, and now we are talking about sums that are routinely 20 times that size.
Mm-hmm.
And it does greatly complicate the public's understanding of what's going on.
Sure, it's a bit of a charade because it is very difficult to tell exactly when the last supplemental will run out and how much of the current activity in Iraq is funded by the last supplemental and how much of it is coming out of this fiscal year's Pentagon budget.
That's right. How much money are we actually spending on defense becomes the question.
Right. At $10 billion a month, with the huge supplemental we passed last year, it was in the $80 billion range, and with a $450 billion general Pentagon budget, they can certainly move their money around and extend these operations without any further funding, and some estimates say that could go to July or August.
That's absolutely right, yes, and further supplementals can follow. So this is it's a way of keeping the spigot open. It's a way of circumventing the normal budget process and the normal levels of scrutiny, and it's a way of throwing sand in the public's face. It's hard to really say how much are we spending cumulatively.
Yeah. Carl, I'm sorry I'm out of time here today, okay. But I want to thank you for your commentary. Appreciate your work.
It's my pleasure.
Carl Canetta, co-director of the Project on Defense Alternatives. Coming up next, Cliff Schechter, the expert on John McCain, proprietor of the website realmccain.com. He'll be joining us right here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyer. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
The show, weekday mornings, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
guess we got to make a list. Bush, Cheney, McCain, Lindsey Graham, Alberto Gonzalez. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 34 minutes after the hour. My lines are open if you'd like to join the conversation. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Cliff Schechter is a writer and political activist kind of guy, and he's the proprietor of the website TheRealMcCain.com. He's working on a book that will be published this fall all about Senator McCain of Arizona. Cliff, welcome back to the show today.
Thanks so much, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing a lot better than John McCain and Don Imus.
Yeah, they're both having a hell of a week, aren't they?
Yes.
I think I might throw Rudy Giuliani into that, too. He's having a pretty good week also.
There was a great, there's a wacky cartoonist who gets published in the San Francisco Chronicle. His name is Don Asmussen. And he had a panel in there today. I didn't bring it in with me, but it was just a hoot. And now I can't remember where I was going with that. I'll come back to it, Cliff.
Well, we did some of the cartoons about Giuliani, McCain.
Oh, that's what it was. Thank you. It was about the Republican candidates with three wives.
Yeah, and there's an impressive number of them. Newt Gingrich, Rudy Giuliani. I wouldn't think of any of the others have had three.
Yeah, thanks. You just bailed me.
Seems very chaste in only having had two.
Right. Yeah, he's...
He's on the low end of the marriage totem pole in the Republican field.
Right, and Mitt Romney, who is ready to defend the nation from squirrels, only has one marriage under his belt.
It's very important that you get that correct. He said himself he has hunted varmints.
Right.
Much like Yosemite Sam,
uh-huh.
The cotton-picking varmints out there, he's going after them.
I think it's great. He'll protect us from all kinds of little critters.
Yeah.
Well, Cliff, I'm glad to have you on the program today. In the preceding segment, we talked a little bit about John McCain and his misguided attempts to embrace the Bush administration's war and how they've been backfiring on him. Let's start with the April Fool's Day stroll through the Shorja Market in Baghdad. He has since kind of repositioned his comments, tried to amend them a little bit on the 60 Minutes interview with Scott Pelley this past Sunday.
Yeah.
But he really stepped in some doo-doo there.
Well, yeah, that would be a nice way of putting it. I mean, first of all, that walk through the market was utterly ridiculous. Although I am happy to know that Lindsey Graham got five rugs for $5.
Yeah.
At least he had a good time there.
Mm-hmm.
And also that Mike Pence of Indiana let us know that's like a normal shopping experience in the market in Indiana. Because,
right.
Of course, I'm sure that you need a rocket launcher with you at all times during those. But
most flea markets do have Black Hawk helicopters flying overhead to maintain.
Apaches. Yeah, Apache helicopter gunships, I believe,
uh-huh.
Called. And two Apaches, I believe, three Black Hawks and 100 troops. Well, I mean, let's get back to John McCain, I guess. The thing about him is so ridiculous, and the 60 Minutes interview is the most important thing, is that he went on that and talked about how he had misspoken. And the truth of the matter is, I can't stand this little I miss. When you misspeak, that's, you know, that to me, you say something by mistake, you didn't mean it, whatever. He didn't misspeak, he lied. I mean, he got up afterwards and gave a press conference and said during that press conference about how he could walk, quote, freely in the market. This was after he went to the market, he
mm-hmm.
made that comment. And it was just, you know, the progress was being made. He was able to walk freely. When, you know, 100 soldiers around him, that's very free walking. And then he also, and I hear that Mitt Romney also was there with his rifle to protect him. and then, you know, additionally, then he went on and he chastised Wolf Blitzer and CNN, you know, making the statement that, I'm trying to go back to which ridiculous statement I'm losing.
Well, one was about the unarmored Humvees.
Petraeus is unarmored Humvee, which also was a complete fabrication.
Yeah, he makes it sound like the general has a little convertible Miata or something, and he just hops in and goes to, you know, pick up some fresh rugs or rose water at the nearest market.
Right, he's taking a Triumph convertible through town. So, of course, you know, I mean, these aren't misstatements. They're absolute lies. They're fabrication. And the other thing he did in the 60 Minutes thing is he made sure to sort of almost belittle whatever he's going through, saying, oh, well, you know, I just make statements like that sometimes. That's why the campaign's so much fun. Well, it's also a lot of fun for the guys that had to clear the market for you and risk their lives for a photo op. I'm sure that's a lot of fun. You know, and everybody whose kids are being deployed, and not to take anything away from McCain, whose son, it looks like, will also go to Iraq, but that even makes the thing more sick, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this is not fun for people. This is, you should know that. He should know that more than anybody.
And Cliff, two more things from the 60 Minutes interview. I give Scott Pelley some credit. I think he was relatively tough on McCain, but he failed to mention a critical issue. That within 24 hours of the McCain stroll through the Georgia marketplace, insurgents of some variety, I don't know exactly who's responsible, came in and shot and killed 21 people there in broad daylight in cold blood.
Yeah.
And he turned around and said the surge is working and that his visit to Georgia is proof of that.
Right, and that's the thing that gets you, too, is that he said he still, even when he was in that 60 Minutes interview, was still not telling the truth.
Well, Pelley didn't bring up the 21 people who were killed.
He didn't bring that up, and he still said, well, I was able to walk around there even with protection, you know, which I wouldn't have been able to do 2 months ago. That's a sign of progress. The fact that a U.S. senator can put on a bulletproof vest and walk around with 100 troops, if that's a sign of progress, that's pretty sad, frankly. And so he still was trying to defend his position. He was sort of doing the Bush.
Mm-hmm.
You semi-apologize, but you don't really apologize. And again, you're right. They didn't bring up the fact that these 21 people were killed, including a baby girl. And for all we know, they might have been targeted just because in pictures they were forced to sit there and cater to John McCain's photo op.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them were the merchants in the Georgia market.
And additionally, when the New York Times went and interviewed these merchants, they all said that McCain was pretty much crazy, that no, things had not improved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the merchants said. Michael Ware, who's been a fantastic reporter for CNN, who's honest, called what McCain said, McCain's in some sort of Neverland. I don't know how much more proof you need that this guy doesn't know, either, you know, has lost it or is completely lying at this point for his campaign. But it's really the saddest spectacle. People have called it his Mike Dukakis moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Dukakis in a tank. And I think that pretty much sums it up.
The other interesting thing, I'm glad you mentioned Michael Ware of CNN. He appears to be Australian. He's got an accent of that sort. And he was accused of having heckled Senator McCain at the news conference that he held with Lindsey Graham in Baghdad. And this accusation came from the Drudge Report,
of course,
and other
Republican-linked
blogs, and it was completely false. There was nothing, not even a shred or a thread of evidence to support it, and to Michael Ware's credit, he went on TV and bluntly denounced it.
Yeah, I mean, he's really someone I respect a lot because he doesn't sit by and let these folks on the right, most of whom wouldn't have the courage to show up anywhere in a military zone themselves, question him and attack him and just basically make up lies about him. I mean, this is, you know, we know this. This is a pattern. This is what the right does. I mean, starting way back, it's gone further back than that, but let's just say, if you think of all the people since Richard Clark, who is someone who served honorably in Republican and Democratic administrations, and how they questioned his patriotism, what they did to Valerie Plame, you know, what they've done to everybody, you're not even safe if you're on their side. I mean, you know, Bush's own pollster, Dowd, came out against him recently and questioned him until they started questioning the guy's sanity.
Yeah, that's Matthew Dowd.
Yes, Matt Dowd. I couldn't think of it.
And that's remarkable. He jumped to the Republican Party having been a Democrat and appears to be a guy who followed the money. You know, he had a chance to work for Bush's 2000 and 2004 elections, and I'm sure he pocketed several million dollars, if not more, in commissions and fees. And for him to all of a sudden find a moral center and feel the urge to speak up, that's pretty damn remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't take him at his word, and I'm not trying to defend this guy and say he's a wonderful guy, because I don't believe these guys who say they were Bush Democrats. What a joke! I mean, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he switched over, he saw opportunity, he took it, and for all I know, he's coming out now for a variety of different reasons. I hear that his son is being deployed to Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and but that doesn't change the fact, you know, that the minute that he criticized them, they were questioning whether he was really all there mentally.
Yeah.
This is what they do. I mean, if you criticize them and you reach a high enough profile, they do this to you. I mean, the funny thing with Joe Wilson is I think his op-ed would have almost gone unnoticed in the media atmosphere we were in at that time, and yet they made that a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess now they only bother with people who are of the highest profile. But
yeah. We're talking with Cliff Schechter, and his website is therealmccain.com. There's a book due out this fall, and I think you're going to have a hard time cutting off your work and actually submitting the manuscript, Cliff.
it's going to be tough, I know. I mean, the truth of the matter is that what he just did in the market and all of that, in a manner of speaking, redefined my book a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's not your opening lead, then what is? And so you're right. I had to actually sit down, and I've had to do a number of rewrites, as you know, particularly, I mean, at least there's other sections that aren't Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
That seem to be finished almost.
Yeah.
But who knows? But mm-hmm. but Iraq, you're right. I have to keep rewriting that section right up to the point, you know, on June 1st when this manuscript is due. I'll probably have to do that.
Yeah. Cliff, one of the other things that came out of Scott Pelley's 60 Minutes interview with McCain struck me as quite odd. Pelley set him up. This was softball journalism at its finest or worst. You take your pick. But he said, look, you were very aggressive in calling for the resignation of Donald Rumsfeld. You've been very critical of the way this administration has managed this war. And yet you can't find any room to criticize the president himself, the commander-in-chief. And this was an incredible opening to permit McCain to pivot away from these ugly pictures of him embracing Bush on the campaign trail in 2004, getting kissed by Bush. It was an opportunity for him to say, you know, I appreciate the question, Scott. And yes, this president has been an abject failure. He's not a war president. He's a war loser. And he could tick off all the ways that he might have done a better job. And instead, McCain sucked it up. And had this bland answer about how he'd rather look to the future and not to the past.
Yeah, well, we know the story now. You know, I love the fact now that bloggers are breaking stories. And over at the blog mydd.com, there's an interview with John Kerry. And we now know that not, you know, when those rumors came out in 2004 about a Kerry-McCain ticket, it wasn't Kerry that went to McCain. It was McCain that went to Kerry. So that should tell you what you need to know, which is he was contemplating joining a Democratic ticket at that point in time. McCain also was active when Jeffords switched parties, when Senator Jeffords switched to Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly he was the one they thought was most likely to switch was McCain, not Jeffords. So this is a lot of what my book is about, which is the politics of personality, which really McCain's politics often depend on not what his actual principles are, but who he likes and doesn't like at that time. Well, in 2004, obviously he was on the brink, and I don't know if Karl Rove went to him or Bush went to him or whatever, and they pulled him back and made all sorts of promises. And since then, he's been a Bush Republican. And, you know, in the most despicable way, switching his positions on everything from evolution to Bush's tax cuts to obviously even Iraq and numerous times back and forth on when we should get out and all sorts of things.
Don't forget immigration. Don't forget campaign finance reform.
Well, I could go, you know, I could take up your Jerry Falwell, Bob Jones University. I mean, I could take up your whole show, abortion, right?
All right, well, then let's take a break, and you can catch your breath, and we'll fill up the rest of the segment after that. Cliff Schechter's with us. Visit his website, therealmccain.com. A lot of powerful information. And a blog where you can leave some comments. You can call in right now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminine and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, people for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I only concur, and the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. And now I have to retract something I said at the top of the program today. I had not intended to talk much about the Don Imus situation, but Gail, one of our faithful listeners in Coos Bay, just emailed, and she's listening to the radio and has the boob tube on, and Tucker Carlson on MSNBC has just announced that MSNBC has fired Don Imus. They will no longer carry his television simulcast in the morning. I don't have any word about whether CBS Radio is canceling his radio show and terminating his employment, but that's a likely next step. The sponsors have deserted him. So we'll talk about this more coming up at about 4:30 Pacific time, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue with Cliff Schechter. We're talking about John McCain. Cliff's website is therealmccain.com. Lots of powerful information, some great videos of John McCain's flip-flops, and a very valuable website. So check it out next time you have a chance.
Thanks, Cliff. Peter.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
And let me say quickly that in that quick break, I also checked quickly my email and got the same one. So I think the Imus thing is absolutely a done deal.
Yeah.
Same information you're seeing.
Okay. I wanted to turn next to a column that was published this week by E.J. Dionne.
Uh-huh.
And I've met E.J., and he is a radical centrist. I mean, he's a guy, if you pulled his shirt off, he's got yellow stripes with the white stripe in the middle, right down the middle of his back. He hews to the center in the middle of the road.
He wrote a book about it, in fact, yeah.
Yeah, and I say that in a complimentary way. His column was headlined, McCain's Tragic Bid for the Presidency, and the pull quote, no matter what he does to court, soothe, and pamper the right, many in its ranks will never abide him. And here's another quote. McCain's political trajectory over the last 7 years might best be understood as a conflict between his desire to resist the Republican powers that be and his need to appease those forces lest they block his last chance at winning the White House.
I read that column, too, and a number of other people have written similar things. And my analysis of everything is how badly John McCain is screwed up by listening to his political handlers, because the truth of the matter is what's obvious now and what's more obvious to me, having done all the research I've done on him, is that his political principles are completely malleable. He doesn't really seem to have any, that he won't switch for the right. A lot of people don't know he was against campaign finance reform before the Keating Five scandal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that he made a statement saying that we should never even think of trading U.S. blood for Iraqi blood before the Gulf War in 1990.
Just one footnote there. Sometime, Cliff, we should have a whole segment about the Keating Five. Charlie Keating graduated from high school in the same class as my dad.
Oh, really?
And his kids went to my high school, the same school where I grew up in Cincinnati. So I have a lot of deep history about Alan Cranston, John McCain, and the Keating Five. No time for it today, but sometime.
Oh, we'll have to talk sometime because my wife's from Cincinnati, and I've been there numerous times.
Wow.
And know the place well.
Okay, well, we'll have that chat sometime. But go ahead.
Some similar people that you might know. But in any case, let's see, where were we?
You were giving us a list of some of these things where McCain has flip-flopped on.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are numerous. They go on and on, and I mean, I could go on and on, but I guess the point I was making before the break was, which fits very well with what you're saying now, is, you know, he made that choice to go with the Bush people, and since he made that choice, you can see it. I compared his voting records from the 2002, 2003, and 2003-2004 sessions, and he went from, you know, I wish I had this in front of me, but he went from being something like the sixth most liberal Republican to the third most conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see where the calculation exactly was, where he changed his mind and decided, I'm going to go to the right of the Republican Party. And, you know, right now, I think he can't break away from Bush. He bet on Bush and bet on the Iraq War. You know, his another turncoat Democrat like Matthew Dowd is Mark McKinnon, his media guy,
mm-hmm.
Who worked for Bush. His guy Terry Nelson, who's the head of his campaign, is another Bush loyalist. There's a whole lot of them in there. And so to think that he's going to turn his back on Bush, he bet way back when that he had to do this to win the presidency. And whoever was telling him that, what a stupid calculation, because I do think with how many progressives and moderates loved him in the Democratic Party back then, were fooled by him, including yours truly, I'll admit it. He would have, I think, had he sort of, gone along with what he was saying at the time about abortion rights,
mm-hmm.
Which was he thought that it should be left to a woman and that kind of thing, I think he would have had a very good shot at getting the Democratic nomination.
All right, let's take some phone calls here. Jake in Arcata, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for the clipping you mailed me. That's why David Cobb's coming on at 5:30 today.
Oh, outstanding. I'm looking forward to hearing what David Cobb has to say about funding of the war.
It's your fault, Jake.
I'll take the blame. Somebody who needs to take some blame also is John McCain. I mean, he rolled the dice, just like you said, and, he lost. He bet on this escalation of the war. It's a total failure, just like Bush's presidency. And what gets me is how McCain could actually go along with Bush, decide to kiss up to Bush, trying to get the nomination this time around, when what Bush did to him in 2000, look at South Carolina.
Yeah.
It was all these racist attacks on McCain's adopted child. The Bush campaign brought up all this information about John McCain's wife and her problems with drug addiction and mental illness. And, I mean, just they attacked McCain and his family mercilessly. In the Bush campaign, that's what they've been doing back since the days of Daddy Bush, I mean, and Lee Atwater. They are just dirty and mean, and they go after everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And how McCain could just, you know, accept these attacks on his family and decide that, you know, he's okay with that and he's okay to be on Bush's side, to me that shows that John McCain really has no principles.
Yeah, I think there is no center there. Thank you, Jake. And let me squeeze in one more comment, then we'll let Cliff respond. It's Dr. Sunshine. Welcome, Billy.
Hey, buddy. I just have a one-liner for Cliff, for his website, that sums it all up. Clearly, it's easier to be a hero in a Hanoi prison than it is on the campaign trail or in the Congress of the United States.
Good line.
Is that a good line?
Yep.
What do you think, Cliff?
Billy Sunshine.
I like it.
You can use it.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah, no charge, just lots of credit.
Yeah, sure. Well, we like to give attribution.
All right, Cliff, wrap it up for us here with these two callers' comments. Anything you agree or disagree with?
Well, no, that's entirely correct. And the sad thing is that he, you know, I will never like the Republicans who attacked him in South Carolina and questioned his patriotism when he was over in Vietnam. I think the sad thing is since that time is. You know, I would say militarily he's a hero, but politically he's a coward, and that's a lot of what he's shown. And he did roll the dice. He did make his bed with these guys on the right, these very people that attacked his family, that mm-hmm. questioned his values.
Yeah.
And that'll show you more than anything else his desperation to become president. Because when you're willing to climb into bed with those kinds of people,
Cliff Schechter, the real McCain.
Hi, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Duke lacrosse players are off the hook.
We believe these three individuals are innocent of these charges.
The Imus TV simulcast is cast off.
Don Imus is off MSNBC, effective immediately.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Three very relieved young men and their families face the media in Raleigh, North Carolina this afternoon.
It's been 395 days since this nightmare began, and finally today it's come to a closure.
That's David Evans, one of the Duke University lacrosse players who were accused of sexually assaulting a stripper at an off-campus party last year. Today, State Attorney General Roy Cooper declared the men innocent.
We have looked at the charges, we have looked at the law, and we have cleared them of all of these charges. And it is important to note that the Durham County District Attorney is now facing ethics charges with the North Carolina Bar Association.
Cooper described DA Mike Nifong's pursuit of the case as a tragic rush to accuse. He said caution would have served justice better than bravado. For the three ex-defendants, this is vindication. 20-year-old Colin Finnerty.
This experience will be with me forever, and I'll never forget all those who stood next to me throughout the whole thing. The truth finally did prevail, as everyone said it would.
They're no longer threatened with 30 years in prison, but 21-year-old Reed Seligman is angry.
The Duke lacrosse case has shown that our society has lost sight of the most fundamental principle of our legal system, the presumption of innocence.
Nifong had no comment today. Now this.
Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix and Toprazole sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms, too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Don Imus hasn't even started his 2-week suspension, but MSNBC has decided he won't be coming back. The cable TV channel says it will no longer simulcast his morning radio show. Tom Taylor is editor of the trade publication Inside Radio.
think pressure from advertisers built, particularly after the appearance in the Sharpton show that Don Imus made earlier this week. And the damage control was tough to do. And these things can snowball, and I think this one just snowballed.
CBS Radio has not made a permanent decision on Imus's future, saying it will continue to speak with all concerned parties and monitor the situation closely during his 2 weeks off the air. A member of the CBS board, former NAACP head Bruce Gordon, says he thinks Imus should be fired. After 4 years of fighting in Iraq, the U.S. Army is stretched so thin that combat tours are being stretched out from 12 months to 15. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports.
The new 15-month tour applies to all active-duty Army units in Iraq, Kuwait, and Afghanistan. About 100,000 soldiers there now, plus another 100,000 who will eventually replace them. It's the only way the Army can guarantee troops a full 12 months at home before being sent back again. Not incidentally, it also would allow the Pentagon to maintain its troop surge in Iraq until this time next year.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, which is looking for a high-profile official to oversee U.S. operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. House Democratic Caucus Chairman Rahm Emanuel says he thought that's the president's job, unless the decider has become the delegator. Spokeswoman Dana Perino calls that a clever soundbite, but a cheap political shot.
According to the Washington Post, at least three retired generals have been approached about the job and turned it down. Once again, the crocuses are buried. An April storm is bringing heavy snow to the upper Midwest, up to 10 inches expected in parts of Wisconsin. Remarkable, says CBS News meteorologist George Cullen.
This has been an extremely snowy spring. Marquette, Michigan, since March the 1st, has received over 90 inches of snow, and half of that snow has fallen this month.
This latest storm has canceled or delayed hundreds of airline flights. In Iowa, six people died in crashes on icy roads. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Lost and found. How may I help you?
Well, I seem to be lost. I was hoping you could find me.
Find you? You're joking, right?
No, really.
Well, I'm sorry. This is Lost and Found, not Search and Rescue. What you need is a Garmin Nuvi GPS.
A Nuvi?
Yeah. You'd have all the street maps. You could look up addresses, services, you name it. Then follow the voice prompts right to the door.
Continue southeast to destination.
Gosh, I wish I had a Garmin right now.
So do I. Bye now.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. We'll take you there.
They were born in Antwerp, Belgium. She in 1884, he in 1885. They were married in 1905. They were passengers aboard the SS Zealand, which arrived at Ellis Island in 1912. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free, at 1-888-5-PETER-B, and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
And we roll into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you ready? Are you steady?
Let's go! Ready, steady, go, go!
And as I mentioned about 15 minutes ago, my best intentions have been derailed. I had hoped to conduct all 3 hours of today's broadcast without talking any more about the Don Imus problem. But I'm sorry, I have to derail my efforts to curtail that conversation because we learned a few minutes ago that MSNBC has announced it's dropping, it's firing Don Imus. It will no longer air his television simulcast of the radio show on the mornings on MSNBC. We'll talk about that more later this hour. And we've put a call out to our friends at Media Matters for America. We'll see if we can get one of them to comment. They've been leading the charge to expose not just this episode, but the long-term pattern of Don Imus's sexist and racist remarks. But before we get to that, something that I consider far more important. We want to talk about the plight of women in Iraq before, during, and, well, perhaps after the U.S. occupation. Joining us this half hour is Nadia Al-Ali. She is a senior lecturer in social anthropology at the Institute of Arab and Islamic Studies, that is at the University of Exeter in the U.K., and she's a founding member of ACT Together, Women's Action for Iraq. I've got their website up here. It's acttogether.org, and she has a new book recently published called Iraqi Women, Untold Stories from 1948 to the President. Present. Nadia Al-Ali, thank you for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you.
And I understand you're crisscrossing America on a speaking tour right now.
Yeah, well, although I'm staying east, I'm right now in Ohio. I spent a few days in New York, and I'll be going to Boston and D.C. after this.
Okay, so you don't have a West Coast leg?
Not this time around, unfortunately.
Okay, well, if you if your plans change or if in the future you come out, let us know. We would love to talk with you in person.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to pick up your book, Iraqi Women. Let's start there. Give us a sense of the history of women in Iraq, going back, looks like you go back about 45 years.
Yeah, well, I should say I was actually approached by my publisher late 2003, and basically they asked me to write a book about Iraqi women in the current situation after the fall of the regime of Saddam Hussein. And I thought about it for 2 days, and then I refused because I felt that if people don't have a historical background, a historical context to the current situation, they too easily could construe it as or misinterpret this as this is just another country oppressing its women. So I said it's really important to give it some historical background. So what I'm doing in this book is based on interviews with over 200 women of different generations, different ethnic and religious backgrounds, trying to construct a modern history of Iraqi women. You know, how did women live before the Ba'ath regime came to power? How did they live under the regime of Saddam Hussein? How did wars and sanctions impact on their lives?
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the actual situation, I think very few people in the West, you knew or know that in the early phase of the Ba'ath period when Saddam Hussein was in power, the regime very much pushed women into the labor force, very much pushed women's education, not because they were believing in feminist principles or egalitarian principles, but because there was a booming economy and there was a booming labor market, and they saw women as part of this labor force and they wanted to modernize country. And urban middle-class women very much benefited from this. And when I speak to women about the 70s, those who are not in political opposition movements, you know, those who are just, you know, professional women, they speak about this time as the good old times, the days of plenty, you know. But of course, sorry,
mm-hmm.
If you were in political opposition, then, of course, it was not the good old times because you ended up in prison or your husband ended up in prison.
Yeah.
But I think people have a sort of very simplistic idea about the regime, which was, of course, it was a dictatorship, you know, that oppressed people. But in terms of socioeconomic rights, if you were not really actively opposing the regime, you could have a good life, you know. You could get good education. As a woman, you could almost enter any profession. Of course, we then had, in the 80s, we had a change in government policies because of the war with Iran. You know, for 8 years, from 1980 to 88, there was a war. And even during this time, because thousands and thousands of Iraqi men were fighting at the front, women were pushed even more into the labor force. You could see in the 80s, I remember I visited my family, and I could see women truck drivers, I could see women at petrol stations, in addition to women doctors and lawyers. But at the same time, the government changed its tone, and it wasn't just promoting, you know, the good Iraqi woman is the educated working woman, but they would say the good Iraqi woman is the mother of the future soldiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The good Iraqi woman should produce at least 5 children. So in a way, in the 90s, Iraqi women had to become superwomen. Sorry, not in the 90s, in the 80s. Iraqi women had to become superwomen because they had to be out there. They had to fill in, you know, the gaps because men were at the front. But at the same time, they were supposed to have many children.
And so if we were to sum up the fate or the status of women under the Saddam Hussein regime, it was, if you were not one of the small group of people who were subject to his brutal special treatment, Abu Ghraib and other issues that clearly affected a segment of the population, but on a day-to-day basis, the average woman had, particularly in the context or compared to other nations nearby in the Middle East, had access to higher education. If I'm correct, in Iraq, prior to the U.S. invasion, women enjoyed the highest level of education, highest access to professional classes of work, and the overall picture, again, not dismissing the evil aspects of Saddam Hussein's reign, but in general, women were doing pretty well, and they've suffered greatly under the U.S. invasion and occupation. It's been a huge setback.
Yeah, except that you are forgetting the 13 years of the most comprehensive sanction system ever imposed on a country from 1990 to 2003, which had a detrimental impact on Iraqi society, including women. I think that, one really has to remember that these 13 years really affected people. You had an humanitarian crisis on an unprecedented scale, 5,000 children dying a month as an effect of sanctions. There was a shift towards greater social conservatism in a situation where there was an economic crisis and the state didn't have the money for general welfare policies anymore. Women were pushed back. Polygamy was on the increase. Prostitution was on the increase. It was grim during the 90s, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
However, for me, the saddest thing is that given that the situation was so bad in the 90s and people were suffering both from dictatorship, and I should say it wasn't just a few people. I mean, lots of people suffered from the dictatorship. But people suffering from the dictatorship and then suffering from sanctions, and now, 4 years later on, the same people are telling me it was better then than it was now.
Yeah.
That doesn't tell you that it was good now, but it just shows you how bad it was then.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of, the sort of shift towards greater social conservatism towards in the 90s, in comparison to what we see now, this was, the height of liberalism, really. I mean, now women are really forced to stay home. Women are being... everyone is suffering right now from the level of violence and insecurity, whether you're man or woman, whether you're old or a child. But women are suffering from gender-specific forms of violence, right? Whether it's at the hands of occupation forces, verbal abuse during house searches, at checkpoints, physical abuse, torture, sexual abuse, women civilians dying during aerial bombardments, random shootings by American forces.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, women are also targeted by the Islamist militias, those militias linked to government parties, but also the extremist insurgent groups that are fighting the government and the occupation. They're getting it from all sides. And now we have a situation, and that's for me the biggest ironies. Now the kind of pressures, the kind of the level of violence, the kind of directives that women are experiencing are very similar to what women were experiencing in Afghanistan under the Taliban. It really has reached that level of extremism, okay? Only that in Iraq, it's done in the name of liberating, women, getting democracy, and getting human rights. I mean, that's one of the biggest ironies of the whole situation.
We need to take a break, and we'll continue with Nadja al-Ali. She's got a new book out, which is called Iraqi Women, Untold Stories from 1948 to the Present. It's recently been released, and she's touring on the eastern coast of the United States and giving lectures over the next few weeks. If you want to get more information, go to the website acttogether.org, acttogether.org. And if you'd like to call call in with a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you. Lines are open right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs, Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, will be with us with an exciting real estate opportunity. If you'd like to get in on some real estate that's below market price, you'll want to hear about this exciting opportunity. To find out more information on the show or to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. We're going to mention that we do have a couple of big problems, and we'll certainly give it to you as soon as our computer allows us to. And yes, folks, finally the thrill of live radio. We're going to mention that we do have a couple of big problems. First of all, Hollister-Gilroy, State Route 156 at Fairview. It is a major injury crash there. Apparently, it is a couple of vehicles, including a big rig that went off the roadway. And it looks like that the truck was carrying about 60,000 pounds of lettuce. Traffic is being affected. They're having two-way control. The lanes are open, but again, the traffic is being affected. So they have to offload this big rig with 60 pounds of lettuce there. And a CRG at Carpentria, a CRG 11, that is, it is a major injury crash being reported.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where it's 22 minutes after the hour.
5 miles out of Nashville, think about the way things change. Try to keep it by the reins. I'm a lone drifter, big on December. Take anything you got on the rocks in a snapper. I'm Mr. Kentucky, without a losing manner. I never had no loving like I had in Alabama. A man of my word, and I can hurt nobody. I'm just an MC.
for more. Life's been sweet. You can say the prayer that I say you'll see. I've been through so many times.
We continue our conversation with Nadja Al-Ali. She's a senior lecturer in the United Kingdom at the University of Exeter in social anthropology at the Institute of Arab and Islamic Studies. And she's also published a new book called Iraqi Women, Untold Stories from 1948 to the Present. And Nadja, take a moment here, and I'm putting you on the spot. You told me you conducted over 200 interviews for the book. But is there a woman you'd like to give us as an anecdote, and how her life has changed under the various stages that you described, especially including the sanctions period from 1993 to 2003?
Yeah, I mean, many women. I mean, one woman, I have to say, I didn't use the proper names of the women because I wanted to protect, you know, the anonymity and confidentiality. But one woman, let's call her Hannah, I spoke to in 2006 in Amman, where I did some research for a while. And she was telling me that she was a teacher, a school teacher. She started in the 80s, and although she was describing the fear that, you know, she had and that people had during the Iran-Iraq war, but the war at the time was quite, for those living in Baghdad, it was quite far away. And she was describing how she had been encouraged to get an education, and she was even offered a scholarship to study abroad. And she was also telling me how she was under pressure to join the Ba'ath Party, as so many people were at the time. And she actually opted to not sign up for it. Many people did, just as a sort of formality. They were not necessarily believing in it. I mean, there were obviously people who were part of the regime, but she was one of the people who, you know, did not sign up for it, and therefore she was not promoted to headmistress as she was hoping. But she continued to work. She did her job. She tried to do what she could do. But then she told me that in the 90s she quit her job because she could not afford going to school anymore. I mean, in the 80s she could put her children into the free childcare centers that were provided by the government. In the 90s, because of the fact that there was such a high inflation and the government didn't have money to pay its employees, or didn't, there wasn't that money available.
Right, he was building palaces.
Yes, exactly. Well, this is, of course, he was diverting money to, you know, for his own good. We knew that he didn't have the good of Iraqis in mind to start out with.
Right.
But she had to quit work because she said the money, my salary, did not cover the cost of transportation. And also she wanted to be at home to look after her children because, again, she couldn't afford childcare. She said education became so bad in the 90s. No new books, no magazines, no computers were allowed into the country. And so she, you know, started to stay at home. But she could still at least sort of go out to socialize and go shopping. But then, you know, after the invasion in 2003, she said, you know, initially it was just a matter of some local Islamist groups sending out, giving out leaflets saying that every woman should cover up, they should wear hijab, that it's headscarf, they should wear moderate clothing. And she said she did. I mean, she didn't do that before, but she felt, you know, this is not a big deal, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the next instance, they received a leaflet that women shouldn't drive, women shouldn't go out to work, female students should not mingle with male students, and sort of one step after the other, to the extent that she felt she couldn't leave the home, her home anymore. And so she decided to leave the country. Also, she was very worried about, you know, her daughters, especially, you know, the teenage one, and she thought she couldn't really send her to school. She was too worried for her safety. So this woman, you know, first in the first instance was affected by sanctions and that she lost her job. But then, you know, by the time we have the occupation, she wasn't even able to leave her house anymore.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, Nadja, you made a reference to your family in Iraq. I don't know much about your history.
Yeah.
Were you born in Iraq?
No, I mean, my father left Iraq in 1958, even before the revolution. There was no political reasons. He wanted to study in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And he married my mother, who's German. That's where my accent comes from.
I see. And
decided to go back, but then they ended up staying in Germany. But because he left so early and there were no political reasons, it meant that throughout all my life I was able to go and visit my family. Many of them are still in Baghdad.
I see. And do you have any aspirations of returning to live full-time?
No, I don't have any aspirations to live. I mean, I can't say I return because, I've never actually lived there. I used to, go regularly to visit my family.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I've had all my life, since I recognized my privilege of being of Iraqi descent, but having the freedom of movement and education outside and having been able to travel around the world, unlike my cousins who have been stuck inside Iraq with dictatorship, wars, sanctions, and now occupation.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt that I want to go back and teach and do something positive.
Yes, our time is up. I want to thank you, Nadja Al-Ali. Acttogether.org and learn more. I'm Peter B. Collins. You want to talk about Don Imus? We'll do that next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, be the path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
A war czar? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. With Imus off the front page, there was room for this strange little story today from the Washington Post. Quote, the White House wants to appoint a high-powered czar to oversee the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan with authority to issue directions to the Pentagon, the State Department, and other agencies, but has had trouble finding anyone able and willing to take the job, unquote. What? Maybe if I read it a little bit slower. Someone to oversee wars with powers to tell the Pentagon and State Department what to do. Isn't that the president? Is he trying to outsource his own job? The other strange part is that one of the candidates for war czar was a General Jack Sheehan, former NATO commander, who says he never agreed on the basis for the war, that we didn't properly plan for it, and who thinks Vice President Cheney has too much influence and who sides with the pragmatists looking for a way out. This is who they wanted to be war czar? Why not just ask Nancy Pelosi? What's going on here? And then there's this line. The article quotes political scholar Frederick Kagan, who says, quote, it's a real problem that we don't have a single individual back here who is really capable of coordinating the war effort. What? 4 years and now they tell us this? What happened to the decider? I distinctly remember the president saying he was the decider. I know we have that cut. Yes, here it is.
And I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part. Well, never mind.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam firewalls and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
On the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes after the hour. And I started off the program today pledging not to talk about Don Imus. And that was my serious intention. And then Gail emailed from Coos Bay over the last hour saying that MSNBC has announced today that it is dropping Don Imus. In a sense, in essence, it is firing him from his morning television broadcast on cable. That's not quite the airwaves, but he's been doing that for many years now, and they have been, carrying the video part of his radio program. Or that's not quite right. The audio and pictures of Don not moving his lips as he delivered scurrilous remarks at various targets. If you'd like to comment on this, we'd love to hear from you. Lines are open right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Jameson Foser's with Media Matters for America and is a regular contributor to the Peter B. Collins Show. Jamo, how you doing today?
Doing well. How are you, Peter?
Well, I'm okay. This is a surprising development. It appeared to me that NBC and CBS had kind of hunkered down, thought they'd weather the storm. And it appears that the announcement from various advertisers led by Procter & Gamble yesterday that they would no longer support the Imus show might have led these suits in the executive suites to change their minds.
I think it did, and I think you make a good point about how unlikely this would have seemed just a week ago or so. The place that Don Imus enjoyed, the position that he enjoyed in the media kind of constellation, and his close ties to a lot of the biggest names in the media, the Tim Russerts of the world, made it seem pretty improbable that Don Imus was somebody who was going to lose his job. I think it's a testament to the fact that Americans all across the country came together and spoke out against this and said that, you know, they've had enough of this kind of hate speech being carried on MSNBC. And everybody from leaders of national organizations, African-American leaders, leaders of women's groups, to Media Matters and other media criticism organizations, to just American citizens all across the country spoke out about this and were heard. And I think there's a growing number of Americans who are coming to understand the damage that's done when major news organizations provide a platform for bigoted commentary and other forms of conservative misinformation, and they're demanding change. And MSNBC's decision here was a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not to single Media Matters out, but I do want to acknowledge the work that you've done and the context that you have helped provide. Because for many people, this was their first awareness of Don Imus crossing that line. First of all, there are a lot of people who know who he is but never listen to his show or watch him on television. Particularly here on the West Coast, he's not much of an entity, JMO. He's not on major radio stations. And, of course, the MSNBC simulcast is at 3 a.m., so it's hardly prime time here on the left coast. So for us, he's kind of an ancient artifact or you know, a very remote media figure. I think he's much more prominent in the Eastern time zone and with his base in New York and the connection, to, as you pointed out, with Tim Russert and others from Washington. He built a pretty strong presence, I think, in the corridor there, but it doesn't really play out as much nationally. So what you helped to do was provide the history that this was not accidental, this was not anomalous. This is part of a very serious pattern of his behavior over many years.
Well, that's right, and that's what some of the early coverage of this ignored, was that this wasn't an isolated incident. This is something that Don Imus has done before and has done repeatedly in the past.
Well, it was interesting to hear him try to rationalize the Gwen Ifill allegation. And Ifill published an op-ed in the New York Times on Tuesday describing how offended she was back in the 80s when she was a White House correspondent. And he made a remark about her calling her the cleaning lady because she's African-American. And his defense of that was, gosh, that was back in the Reagan years. That was so long ago. That's ancient history.
Right.
And I think the more he tried to defend himself, the deeper he got in his own dung.
I think that's definitely right. I do want to go back just for a second. I think that Media Matters was the first organization that drew attention to these most recent remarks, and I think that we did an important thing in pointing out Don Imus's history of this, and that was important in how this story played out. And so I'm thrilled to take credit for that, but I can't emphasize enough how important it is for other organizations, other progressive leaders, other concerned Americans to speak out about these things. And that's what really brings about change, and that's absolutely essential. The work that we do really can't be successful unless other people join in on it. And so the credit here really goes to everybody who heard this and said that they had had enough and did something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the lesson that I hope people take away going forward, is that people really can change the media climate in this country if they are committed to focusing on it and doing something and making their voice heard.
There's also the element in here that I cited a moment ago, which is that it's the sponsors who have been heard here as much as the public and media critics, because these corporate owners do respond very much to the big advertisers who provide the millions and for radio and billions for television that keep these companies afloat and keep their 40% profit margins coming. And while I take no pleasure in Don Imus's problems or his termination, there's modest satisfaction because I'm looking at one of the radio trade emails that came out describing this decision by NBC News today to terminate Don Imus on the television broadcast. And it reads here, CBS Radio, sticking with its unpaid suspension starting Monday, says it will continue to speak with all concerned parties. And this goes on to read, so far, advertisers including General Motors, GlaxoSmithKline, American Express, Procter & Gamble, Staples, and Bigelow Tea have pulled their ads from Imus's show. Now, the modest satisfaction I feel, JMO, goes back to that memo that you and I talked about last fall, the ABC radio blackout that instructed radio stations not to play commercials from these very same advertisers and about 90 others on progressive talk shows because they were thought to be too controversial. And at the time, we couldn't find equivalent blackout lists for Imus, for Limbaugh, for Hannity, and other programs that we believe are potentially offensive. And so I think it's interesting that these big advertisers have taken an important step, and I applaud them for it.
Absolutely, and they've taken an important step, and MSNBC has taken an important step. So far, CBS Radio has not, and I think it's important at this point that people who don't think that Don Imus' brand of hate speech belongs on the airwaves and is deserving of being privileged with having a spot on CBS Radio should let CBS know that they don't approve of this and make CBS feel pretty lonely in standing by Don Imus. You know, we all remember Michael Savage being fired from his MSNBC years ago after he told a caller that he hoped he got AIDS and died.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Savage is still on the radio, still broadcast across the country, still spewing hateful, vicious, mean, and false comments every day. And, you know, I hope that we don't see that situation again where MSNBC has finally done the right thing. But CBS Radio so far has not. And so this is a big victory already. But people who don't like what Don Imus said and don't want to hear any more of it should focus their attention on CBS at this point.
And, JMO, I'm not the first to mention that this is a moment, an opportunity, when we can address the larger issues of exploitive and hateful humor or comments that are intended or passed off as humor that do pollute our airwaves and I think damage the social fabric in this country. And yet I'm a big believer in the First Amendment. I believe that Michael Savage has the right to say the hateful things that he does on a regular basis. My issue is that the companies that broadcast his program don't exercise appropriate responsibility in either limiting the hatefulness of his comments or blocking them by removing him from the air. And so how do we manage the need to rein in hate speech without running afoul of the First Amendment and without indeed censoring people either directly or through the chilling effect?
Sure. Well, I think it's important to be clear that I don't think anybody has suggested that the government should in any way have rebuked John Don Imus or prevent him from speaking or Michael Savage. The question is whether they should be granted the privilege of having a radio show and a television show, which is not something that people have a right to. MSNBC and CBS and all those who broadcast over television or radio or in MSNBC's case, it's not a broadcast cable, but they have a responsibility to use what they have, which is very precious and which is very valuable and which gives them a great deal of influence, which is access to the homes of almost all Americans in a responsible way.
Mm-hmm.
And people who don't feel they're exercising that responsibility the way they should have a right, and I would contend an obligation to speak out about it and to encourage them to do so. I think it's something that we as consumers of news and people who watch television, listen to the radio, read newspapers, something we have to do is contact these news organizations when we think they've gotten something wrong or when they're broadcasting hateful speech and tell them that we don't like that.
Yeah.
And we want them to get it right or stop broadcasting hate speech or whatever the case may be. I think if we don't do that, they're not going to change, and it's not going to serve the country well.
Mm-hmm. And in my view, while I'm not minimizing or rationalizing what Imus has done, either in the recent episode or the pattern that preceded it, I believe that there's more damage being done on a daily basis by the Michael Savage show. And again, I don't want regulation to take him off the air, but I think that ABC Disney, which still owns, they're selling their radio stations, but they still own stations that carry his program in various markets. Also, the Salem Broadcasting Company, which considers itself a Christian broadcaster, is one of the biggest chain that features the Michael Savage program. And I encourage listeners to approach advertisers and to approach the broadcast owners with your own comments and express yourself on that, because ultimately I'd like to see them exercise the level of responsibility that JMO and I are talking about here.
Absolutely, and anyone who's looking for more information about what exactly it is that Michael Savage says on his radio show on a daily basis can come to our website at MediaMatters.org. We've done many postings about him containing audio you can listen for yourself, but anybody who wants to find some information to bolster that case that they might make to ABC Disney or to their advertisers can come onto our website, and they'll find no shortage of foul, hateful things that Michael Savage says on a regular basis.
Yeah. JMO, thanks for your comments today.
Thank you, Peter.
Good to talk to you. That's Jameson Foser, and visit the website MediaMatters.org. As he just referenced, that's where you can find the lowdown in the dirt on Michael Savage, if you're so inclined. Don in Hollister, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, how you doing, Peter? I got a big problem with this Imus thing, and I think the biggest thing is this suspension. I understand he's got a telethon coming up. But in my business, when I go suspend an employee, I don't wait a week and give them time. I've had to go through incidents same as him, you know, where I had an employee making a derogatory remark to another employee, and immediately I had to suspend them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they sent the wrong message to this corporation that that's like slapping their hand. And it sent the wrong message to all the people that this should be handled appropriately right away.
I think you're right, Don. The inconvenient issue was that Don Imus had previously scheduled 2 days of a radiothon, a fundraiser for some charities for tomorrow and Friday. Now, yeah. I can't imagine that these are going to be successful fundraisers, given his situation and given the that NBC is going to terminate him from MSNBC. But they were committed, and I think it was just too complicated to call that off. At the same time, if you want to get real cynical about it, you could say, well, they made a business decision to milk this controversy for as much as they could and then send him on a vacation and hope that he could come back and pretend it hadn't happened. So there are various ways to interpret it. I don't know what was actually going through the minds of the suits at NBC or CBS. Thanks for your call, Don. I appreciate it. Nice to hear from you. We'll take more of your calls coming up in the next segment. 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free. That's 888-573-8372. We're also going to get a comment after the break from Jill Nelson, the author of Straight No Chaser, How I Became a Grown-Up Black Woman. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news. KRXA 540.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a full affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Or have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 AM, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
And thank you very much. We're going to take a look at traffic in the Monterey and Salinas area. We're going to mention we got a couple big problems. First of all, in Aromas, San Juan Road at Aromas Road, it's a four-vehicle crash. One of the vehicles overturned. Roadway completely blocked. Major injuries to report at this point. And emergency crews are on scene. That was reported about 3:16 this afternoon. And it continues to be a pretty big mess. Hollister, Fairview Road at 156. A big rig and a pickup truck involved in a crash. I can tell you that 60,000 pounds of lettuce were packed in that truck. So they need to offload that at this point. And traffic is a two-way CHP conducting traffic control past the scene there. So we do want to mention that. And this report brought to you by Bottles and Cans. Recycle your glass, plastic, and aluminum bottles and go to bottlesandcan.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show live from San Francisco. Well, not so fast. Ask Don Imus about that. Jill Nelson joins us now. She's a journalist and activist, author of Straight No Chaser, How I Became a Grown-Up Black Woman, and editor of the anthology Police Brutality. Jill Nelson, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Tell me your reaction to the MSNBC decision to fire Don Imus.
You know, I think that it's great. I think that it shows that pressure and people speaking out and being consistent works, and it shows that money talks, and that the withdrawal of sponsors, the suspension of sponsorship by these major corporations forced MSNBC's hand,
mm-hmm.
I believe. And I think that it's a good thing. I think we should feel empowered. And I want to say that I heard a little bit of a guy from Media Matters, and they've just done they're a wonderful site, and they've done wonderful work on this.
Yeah, I agree.
They're just great.
Well, they really help, I think, keep the corporate media on its toes, because prior to that, nobody was really checking what they did, what they said, and, you know, printing it out for people. And as a radio guy myself, I've seen people get away with all kinds of things because radio disappears the moment you hear it. And there's no transcript generally created, and that's how people like Rush Limbaugh got away with things for so long.
Absolutely. And they really create accountability. And also, I think for those of us who don't agree with Don Imus or Michael Savage, we don't listen to them. And so we don't know what's going on, which makes, as you said, Media Matters that much more important. They
yeah.
do great work.
So I know your time is limited here, and let's cut right to the point that JMO and I were discussing, that Imus is now, you know, it appears that CBS will have no choice but to fire him, too. I can't imagine that they'll find a way to keep him on. And so this case will be closed at a certain point. But there's plenty of other hate speech out there and stuff that's, in my view, more egregious, and Savage is the best example. What is your approach to dealing with corporate-sponsored, for-profit, exploitive speech like that?
Well, let me say first that I wish that I was as confident as you sound that Imus will be dismissed by CBS. You know, I've been reading about this for days, and the figures for the money that he rakes in for them are between $20 and $50 million annually. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think CBS is actually going to wait as long as they possibly can to take any action, hoping that this will all sort of go away. Imus has also scheduled his suspension, which you referred to as being delayed, which it was. He comes back right at the beginning of sweep.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've got to really be vigilant and stay on this. That leads me to the answer to your question, which is I think that we have got to stay focused, be vigilant, do the hard work, listen to these programs, regularly monitor them, to support organizations that do monitor them, and we've got to put pressure on corporate sponsors. I mean, I think what's happened here is this Imus's remark was he got too comfortable, and he blew it, got busted, he pushed mad buttons in a diverse group of Americans, and people stayed on his case and on the case of his sponsors and the end of MSNBC about something has to be done about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is what we have to do. This is part of the work of democracy. You know, you want to have a democracy, it's an active thing. It's not a static thing.
Right.
If you want the world to change, you have to do the work that creates that change. And I think that's kind of what's inspiring about what has happened in the last week with these Imus comments. He overstepped. I mean, he took women who are the second best female basketball players in the nation and dogged them out. Young women who are athletes, who are scholars, who comported themselves beautifully, he singled them out for just a vicious, sexist, racist attack.
And it was also really lame. He was this
yes.
aging white guy trying
right.
to talk street black.
Right, and I mean, come on, who's he to talk about someone's hair? I mean, I mean, Imus, to me, it's over. He should. Now, I would advise him not even to wait to see what CBS is going to do, but to be fired. He needs to retire. He's got plenty of money. His day is over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a nation, that's the message that we have to send.
Yeah. Jill, I've kept you too long. I know you need to do another interview here.
I do.
So thank you very much, and we'll talk again.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Jill Nelson here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, her book is Straight No Chaser, How I Became a Grown-Up Black Woman. Now to Bob in Ashland. Welcome, Bob. You're on the program.
Yeah, glad to talk to you, Peter. It's Asheville.
Asheville, my
North
apologies.
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, the latest hip scene. Listen, I was going to call you about this this situation, and the first thing that came to my mind was Michael Savage. That guy is, I've listened to him a few times, and he actually calls for murder of people on the air.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a vicious little twit, and he's a sick man who really gives you evidence of his psychosis on a daily basis.
Well, but people listen to it. As far as Imus, I saw him on cable some years ago, and I thought he was a bore. But then I heard Michael Savage back in 2004 calling for the murder of anybody who doesn't vote for George Bush as a traitor. So what my point is that Imus is not really the focus of all this, and I think maybe that's what you're saying too, is that there are all these individuals out there who are the FCC in their lameness ought to be paying attention to.
Well, and it does create real regulatory issues. I'm running out of time here, Bob, but it's hard to adjudicate matters of taste and subjective issues about what is or isn't funny, what is shocking, what is edgy, and what is offensive. And who are we going to hire to make those decisions? We've already had Al Sharpton enter the fray.
Well, it isn't funny for somebody to go on air and call for the murder of folks.
No, I hear that. I'm sorry, I'm out of time here now. Thanks for your call. And we'll take more calls right after the top of the hour news. 888-5-PETER-B. Let me know what you think. It's the Peter.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Don Imus just lost his TV outlet.
Effective immediately, MSNBC will no longer simulcast the Imus in the Morning radio program.
Allison Gullist is a spokeswoman for NBC News.
This decision comes as a result of an ongoing review process, which initially included the announcement of a suspension. It also takes into account many conversations with our own employees.
Next Monday, Imus starts a two-week unpaid suspension from his radio show. During that time, CBS Radio says it will continue to speak with all concerned parties and monitor the situation closely. Those concerned parties include the sponsors who pay the bills. CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason says they may have influenced MSNBC's decision to dump Imus permanently.
This comes after a growing advertiser exodus. Today, General Motors, the drug company GlaxoSmithKline, Ditech all said they were suspending support of the program. They joined Staples and an American Express that pulled out yesterday. Imus brought in more than $8 million in advertising revenue to MSNBC last year, but the pressure has gotten too great, and they have pulled the plug.
A member of the CBS board of directors, former NAACP head Bruce Gordon, says the smart decision would be for CBS to fire Imus. North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper could have just dropped the charges in the Duke lacrosse case, but he went further, declaring the three young men innocent and blasting the man who prosecuted them, DA Mike Nifon.
This case shows the enormous consequences of overreaching by a prosecutor.
Cooper says there was a tragic rush to accuse and a failure to verify serious allegations. 20-year-old Colin Finnerty and his two former teammates have had a tremendous load lifted from them.
Knowing I had the truth on my side was really the most comforting thing of all throughout the past year. There are many ups and downs and points where it seemed like it would never end. but with the help of all of our supporters, each day seemed to get a little bit better. Today's that day we've all been waiting for.
We asked CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen for his take.
It's easy to look back in hindsight and say this case never should have been brought. I think the prosecutor, Michael Nifong, figured that he had a strong complaining witness with a compelling and accurate story to tell and strong physical and scientific evidence to back up the story. Turns out that wasn't the case. Whether he should have known that at the beginning is a question that he has to answer now, both in North Carolina and around the nation.
Nifong's made no public comment today. 1 year and out is no longer the rule for U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. To maintain troop levels, tours of duty and combat are being extended from 12 months to 15. Former Senator Fred Thompson, who's thinking about a run for the Republican presidential nomination, disclosed today that he was diagnosed 3 years ago with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but the cancer's in remission and not expected to affect his life expectancy.
My life goes on normal. Nobody knows about the future, of course, but as much as the doctors can tell.
Thompson is an actor. He plays the district attorney on Law and Order. The Dow lost 89 points today, the Nasdaq down 18. This is CBS News.
There are two ways to deal with these killers. The easy way or the hard way. For Jack Reacher, the choice is clear. His way is the hard way. The Hard Way, the explosive new thriller by Lee Child, featuring Jack Reacher, the character critics call the perfect hero, loved by women, feared by men, and respected by all. Read The Hard Way by Lee Child, now at Dell Paperback.
Harold, we're lost. Stop and ask for directions.
We're not lost. I know exactly where we are.
You're lost.
I'm not.
R2.
I'm not.
R2.
Well, I recognize that building. See, I told you, we're not lost.
You should recognize it. We passed it three times.
Get a Garmin and get portable, affordable car navigation for any car. Gentle voice prompts automatically guide you to your destination.
Turn right on Highway 134. Continue southeast to destination.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. It just might save your marriage.
Harold!
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was in federal court St. Louis today for arguments on one state's attempt to discourage abortion.
South Dakota urges the court to stop blocking a law that would force abortion doctors to tell women the procedure terminates a whole separate, unique, living human being. During a vigorous debate, Judge James Loken challenged anti-abortion lawyer Harold Cassidy, suggesting that's not the doctor's job.
To take time out in the midst of a doctor-patient relationship to preach ideology, if you will.
Your Honor, we would take exception. This is not ideology.
Not science.
The state claims women have a right to carry a fetus to birth and that this law would protect that. Planned Parenthood argues the law would interfere with a woman's right to choose abortion. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, St. Louis.
The police property room in Monroe, Ohio may be the best smelling anywhere. Three men are charged with stealing $10,000 worth of Febreze air freshener from a warehouse and selling it online. Police are storing the evidence. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix, pantoprazole sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone today, 6 minutes after the hour. My phone lines are wide open to hear from you. You want to talk about Don Imus being fired by MSNBC? That's fine. And unlike Tom Hartman, I won't make you talk about something else. I thought that was an interesting angle that Tom took this morning. But, yeah, it's fair game. MSNBC capitulating to advertiser pressure, I think, more than the public outcry, announced today that after his two-week suspension, he ain't coming back. So Don Imus has been fired by NBC Television. CBS Radio remains, they continue to say that he's going to be suspended and returned. I think you may hear an announcement during these fundraising telethons tomorrow and Friday from the I-Man himself that he's packing it in, that he's had enough, and that he got the message. Could be wrong about that, but that's my theory. 888-5, Peter B., if you want to comment on that. We also talked about important issues like, the situation in Iraq, particularly as it applies to women. We talked about the situation in Iraq as it applies to the United States with Carl Canetta in the first segment today. Cliff Schechter gave us some interesting comments on John McCain, and you can pick any of those or something outside of that menu and call to talk about it right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And coming up later this hour, we're going to give some free speech time to David Cobb. He served as the Green Party's presidential candidate in 2004, and he wrote an op-ed piece that Jake and Arcata sent to me, and we called David, and he's available, so he'll chat with us a little bit later this hour. In the meantime, we'll take your calls. Also, I wanted to acknowledge some snail mail and email from Hillary. She only uses one L. And first of all, Hillary emailed today asking, where is Larissa Alexandrovna? And I can tell you she's alive and well, but she won't tell me where she is. She is on assignment someplace. She sent me a cryptic email earlier today saying that she wouldn't be able to join us again. She wasn't on with us last week. She's working on a major story, and when it breaks, we'll hear from Larissa, and we'll share it with you here on the program. But thank you for inquiring about that. And the snail mail that Hillary sent included a commentary written by Trudy Rubin that was published in the Press Democrat out of Santa Rosa a couple of days ago. And Trudy Rubin compares some of the things going on in the United States with East Germany's Stasi. That was the secret police that helped keep a very tight grip on a captive public there for a couple of decades during the Cold War. By 1989, there were 92,000 secret police in East Germany, with 170,000 informers. And they had gimmicks and gizmos like, video cameras and microphones that could be hidden in light switches. There's now a Stasi museum in East Germany where you can see, for example, you can observe a row of yellow cloths in glass jars that were used to collect body odor samples by swabbing chairs in kitchens or studies. You can look at rows of old-fashioned tape reels that collected data from bugged phones, photos of refrigeration trucks that parked in residential areas with surveillance cameras. And, gosh, are we heading into a Stasi era here in the United States? It often feels like it. Hillary, thanks for the article, and thanks for your email checking in on Larissa today. 888-573-8372. My lines are open, and Dave's taking advantage of the free speech zone right now. Hello, Dave.
Well, hi, Peter. How you doing?
Not bad.
How's my phone? I just got my new cell phone antenna.
Oh, it's sounding okay.
Well, good. Hey, speaking of East Germany, I'll never forget when I was a kid in 67, I was allowed to venture into East Berlin, and just the feel in the air that you get, it's just so chilling. It reminded me of the two, I think, British journalists that were allowed into North Korea, and they were commenting about this huge park that they drove by, in a park which is totally immaculate, except there wasn't one person in it.
Oh, wow.
It's just such an eerie feeling that you get in places like that.
Now, you must have been a kid. How did you get through Checkpoint Charlie?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was part of a tour, and we were allowed to go into East Germany for about 2 or 3 hours. And as a matter of fact, I happened to have an illegal photograph of Checkpoint Charlie.
From the other side?
Taken from inside the bus.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, I'll just tell you
a quick story. I did traverse some of the same terrain, but it was long after the Eastern Bloc had fallen. And it was eerie to walk through the, it's now the Brandenburg Gate, I think, and to go through there. And the Stasi building, as I recall, was pretty close to the border crossing there. And it was just, very interesting and also chilling to view this. Of course, it was January and it was about 10 below, so maybe that's what contributed to the chilling part.
No doubt.
But that's not why you called. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I want to comment on this Imus thing. I just can't imagine what went through his head when he made those comments. I mean, can you imagine if someone made those comments to him about his half his age wife and called her some derogatory, mean-spirited names? I mean, it's just unbelievable that some of the people can just blurt out of their mouth things that they know would hurt, and would hurt them, too, if someone said that to them, and it would hurt them.
Well, I can't speak for Don Imus, but from the context that I have gleaned about this remark, and I've already admitted that I haven't listened to Don Imus' show in any, more than 30-second snatches for years. But from what I've pieced together from the various reports, he thought he was complimenting them. He thought he was giving them a street lingo kind of comment. You know, like, these are tough broads, if we use language from the 40s. And here's a guy who's, almost 70 years old, and he's trying to channel the hip-hop nation. He's trying to sound like Dave Chappelle or act like, he hangs with P. Diddy. And, they talk about their bitches and their hoes all the time. And I think that's part of the reason that this stuck out so much. If it had been on a hip-hop morning zoo show, and of course, if it had been articulated by an African-American, this comment never would have drawn any notice.
Well, I want to know, can he be held liable for those comments in a civil court? Defamation of character? I mean, let's face it, that's not much of a compliment to someone, and you call them something like that, it does defame their character.
It doesn't seem like it to me, because to my knowledge, he did not name them individually and say, oh, this is Bonnie, she's a hoe.
Okay.
It was a very generalized remark about the basketball team and his impression of how they looked. And so, the libel and personal attack laws require you to name an individual. They can't be a public figure, and it has to be done with malice.
Well, he dodged a bullet, I guess. Anyways, well, I'm just glad to hear he's off the air. I never could stand him anyway. It's just creepy.
Well, and I have to say that I was always surprised. Again, I would encounter this on the East Coast. You wake up in a hotel room in the morning, and I had been watching MSNBC, like Hardball or something, the night before. And what's this? Oh, it's a TV show about a radio show. Oh, it's a mumbling old guy.
Well, when you look at the countless, really billions of dollars that the right wing has poured into these news talk programs, I mean, they have just, like, look at how many 50,000-watt channels that they have gobbled up. I mean, I don't think, besides, not to mention the three-letter channel from San Francisco, they're about the only 50,000-watt channel I can think of that is not dominated by right-wing talk. They have just literally bought up all the big power stations.
Well, that's generally true. There are a few exceptions, but that is generally true. Dave, thanks a lot for your call today. Now to Wayne in Pebble Beach. Welcome, Wayne. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B., thanks very much. I got to disagree with you. I think you got this one all wrong.
Tell me.
I think Imus, I can't excuse his behavior because he's 70 years old. He's in the media all the time, and he should have awareness of this. And this is not the first time. I mean, he's had this go around with an Eiffel. I think that Sharp was right on to call him on it, and last night on NBC they did quite a nice story on this Rutgers team, and I think it's just unconscionable that a guy like this can say that those awful things about these very talented young women who overcame great odds to perform very well in their sport. And
Wayne, am I getting you correctly? You think I'm insufficiently outraged?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm just not screaming enough.
Okay.
Maybe I have had a radio lapse here. We've been talking about this kind of against my better judgment since Monday. And I have expressed that I feel that this is way out of line. It's something that should not be tolerated. But I accept some of his lame explanations and put it in the context of a guy who is trying to do a shock radio show And it's hard to find your edge when you have to sink lower today than you did yesterday in order to shock people. And it's part of the cycle of trying to host a program like that. And I think that Imus has shown just how out of touch he is by trying to act like he's hip and in touch with the language that he used. So I do not excuse it in any way, but I am trying to use this to get people to focus on the larger picture of hateful political speech that is used to demean people in very cruel ways, and to which they will never be able to respond. The Rutgers women basketball team is going to get to meet with Don Imus and shame him themselves. They got to go on television and talk about their reaction and their feelings. Michael Savage attacks Barbara Boxer ruthlessly on a regular basis and never permits her to come on his program to respond in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's more damaging to the social fabric, to the commons of this country in the long term.
Well, I agree with you on that, Peter. And, you know, would that the talk show people have the grace and the dignity that you carry on your program?
Well, I actually rent that. In fact, the payment is due right now. I got to take a break and play some commercials here. Thanks for your call, Wayne. We'll take more calls. You can be next. Grab a line toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you disagree with me, I want to hear from you. That's what free speech is all about on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
And we're pretty busy traffic-wise, so let's get to it. We're going to go on over to Aromas, San Juan Road at Aromas Road, a four-vehicle major injury crash. One of the vehicles overturned. The roadway has been shut down for, oh boy, at least a couple of hours now, and emergency crews remain on scene. Hollister, Fairview Road at 156, a big rig and a pickup truck involved in the crash. The rigs loaded with 60,000 pounds of lettuce went off the roadway. Now CHP is conducting traffic control past the scene. Interlake and Mount Madonna Road at Casserly, an injury crash, a pickup truck and a car reportedly blocking lanes. CHP is on scene, or actually in the route. And in Live Oak, Soquel at Chantelier, it's a two-vehicle crash, and CHP on the way to the scene there. Well, you can't fight cigarette addiction without a solid plan for your free plan to quit smoking. Call 1-800-NO-BUTS and undo your addiction for good. That's 1-800-NO-BUTS. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour, and I feel a panic attack coming on. Don't want to shock you, but be prepared. And 10 or 12 minutes away, we're going to give some free speech rights to David Cobb. He ran for president under the Green Party banner in 2004. He's got some interesting comments on the Democratic strategy to end the war in Iraq. But first, more of your calls about Don Imus or anything else on your mind. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Next up, Don in Eureka. Hi, Don.
Hi, Peter B.
Hello.
Hey, I find what Don Imus did was despicable and whatnot. But the good thing about it up here in Eureka is it was on early enough that you could take a shower when he was over in the morning. But I'm curious. He's the only one that I've ever heard of on television that would call Don Rumsfeld and Cheney and this administration war criminals and things like this. I was wondering if there might have been some even more nefarious reasons why he's not on the air anymore.
You know, I really don't know that much about his current political views, and so I, in some ways, I'm pleased to hear what you just described. But I think of him as a fairly conservative guy.
He is a Republican.
Yeah.
And he also was supporting Giuliani for president.
Mm-hmm.
But conversely, on Fox News last night, they were labeling him as an ultra-liberal, this, that, and the other thing.
Well, everybody's a liberal unless you're drinking the Kool-Aid at Fox.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, their whole storyline of... The nice thing about Fox is they have a different commercial set than NBC does, so you can flip back and forth when NBC is on commercial.
The timing, yeah.
You can flip over there and catch 4 minutes worth of what they're talking about over there and go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But even yesterday when he was trying to get back regular again, he was talking about Dick Cheney being a war criminal and something needed to be done about that.
All right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'll check into it.
Just something for thought.
Thanks a lot for your call from Eureka today. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another report that nobody asked for. Tommy Panic is our in-depth, undercover, low-budget, investigative reporter. And all I know is that he's in Texas, and it has something to do with Alberto Gonzalez. Tommy Panic, take it away.
Peter B., how you doing?
I'm okay. What do you got?
Well, I am deep in the heart of Texas. Originally, though, it was not to be about Alberto Gonzalez. I came to this large state to investigate these rumors of a ranch, sort of a reserve, apparently stocked with humans. For the vice president, other upper level officials to hunt for sport, of course. Very little luck with that, though. I kept winding back at the Armstrong family ranch where the vice president shot that guy, but no sign of human.
Mm-hmm.
So I did turn my attention to the attorney general. I went undercover, of course. It's what I do as a member of the Alberto Gonzalez gardening crew. Yeah, lucky me. I got to prune the attorney general's bushes now, at his residence in the state capitol.
Does he have an all gringo gardening team?
Oh, of course they do. And of course, I am Caucasian, but somewhat darkly complected. So was able to slip in. But it's kind of a gardening fantasy camp. It's a great way to see a nice piece of real estate. I will say that. But of course, the Attorney General very much in the news for his role in the dismissal of the eight U.S. attorneys. A lot of members of Congress, even some of the elephants, starting to call for his resignation. It's amazing, though. It's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, this doesn't even get that much publicity. There's a peep here and there amidst the American Idol, the Anna Nicole Smith, the Don Imus drivel.
Yeah.
No offense, I know you've been talking about it, but think about it. I mean, you've got a government that spies on us now more than they ever have, and now it's okay for them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got torture, you got the Patriot Act, all that stuff, and you kind of wonder, how long is the administration going to have use for this guy? So are we talking about a resignation, maybe a dismissal, perhaps, but I'm trying to figure out what he is going to do when he's done. And this is interesting because, and here's another story you don't hear much about, Alberto Gonzalez, along with Johnny Sutton, have been accused of failing to take action to hundreds of serious complaints and actual investigations against dozens of staff members concerning allegations that teachers, administrators, guards were having sex with minor male inmates incarcerated in Texas Youth Commission programs.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
It is, but here's what's interesting. On the Gonzalez property, Halliburton has been down here building something. And in talking to some of the other guys, we, as far as on the gardening crew, this thing looks like it's sort of a, it's like torture devices. They'll be able to do some robust interrogation. And from what we can tell, the Attorney General, in his free time, plans on rehabilitating some of these boys himself.
No kidding.
Yeah. Again, this just according to the garden crew and my deductive observations. But do keep in mind, the state of Texas executed more prisoners during Gonzalez's term, still has more prisoners on death row than any other state.
Right.
But, you know, we're still out here on the job here. I'm enjoying
about 10 seconds, Tommy. Go ahead.
Beautiful Texas dusk. I need to get back to pruning these roses. But my next assignment, Peter, I'm going to pose as a member of the Rutgers women's basketball team and sit in.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Time to go home, to take our boys away now, to take our girls away now, to take our boys away now, to take our girls, time to go home.
We're in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's time to go home. Well, not for me yet. I got another half an hour. Lines are open if you have a comment. 888-5 Peter B. In a moment, we're going to hook up with David Cobb. He ran for president under the Green Party banner in 2004. Has some interesting comments about the Democrats' strategy to force Bush to end the war in Iraq. But first, Laura in Arcata has been on hold for too long, and we cannot just let her dangle. Hello, Laura.
Oh, thanks. I'm done dangling.
Okay.
Okay. So I heard Michael Savage's name mentioned on two different, radio programs, yours mm-hmm. and Tom Hartman's
yeah.
this morning. And so I'm curious about this person. I agree that he badmouths people that I love. With no hesitation, but he also badmouths people who I really can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, where do you categorize him? What is he?
Well, he is a bit of a moving target. I have not listened carefully in a couple of months, but I did tune in a few months back and found that he had turned on the Bush administration.
Right.
And so he's kind of a freewheeling hate monger is, I guess, the best way to describe it. And he kind of has his own agenda as if he is next in line to be emperor of the United States.
Or the world.
And when he does, he talks about borders, language, and culture. And he wants to seal the borders, have English only, and impose a Eurocentric culture on the United States. And his comments are all infused with those themes for the most part. And then he just kind of does this rambling take on what's going on in the news and gives you a free tour of his twisted mind. And some people find that entertaining. It doesn't do much for me.
Okay. I mean, I'm satisfied with that.
The thing I would suggest, if you have computer access, is go to MediaMatters.org and click on their Michael Savage page, because they have a lot of his, I was going to say greatest hits, but his lowest points captured there with audio clips. And you can listen for yourself and just decide what you think. They also do a good job because they'll put text next to those clips describing what he said and whether, parts of it were inaccurate or just driven by hate.
Oh, good. Thanks. Thanks very much.
You bet.
I enjoy your show.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you, Laura. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Okay.
David Cobb joins us now. As we mentioned, he ran for president in 2004, and we all owe him a big favor because he and Michael Badnarik, the Libertarian candidate, helped to authorize and pay for the attempted recount of the stolen election in Ohio in 2004. David Cobb, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. It's always a pleasure to be on this show.
Nice to talk with you again. And I want to credit Jake, Jake Pickering in Arcata. He occasionally pops stuff in the mail to me. And you wrote an op-ed or an opinion piece for the Times Standard that was published last week. If you're for peace, you don't vote for war. Give us your take on the posture of the Democrats in trying to challenge the Bush administration in a way that is incremental as opposed to confrontational. And in particular, I invite your comments on the role of your congressman in the 1st District, Mike Thompson.
Well, Peter, I think I would say it this way. Political pundits across the radio airwaves, television, newspaper columns, and heck, even in laundromats, pool halls, bowling alleys across this country are in agreement that in the November 06 election was an absolute and utter rejection of the failed policies of the Bush administration. The American people rejected those failed policies across the board, gaining control of both the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives in elections, one of the most stunning political reversals for a major political party in modern history. And without doubt, that was a function of the dissatisfaction of the American people with the illegal, immoral, and unconstitutional war in Iraq. And with such a profound mandate, it was stunning to me that in only 4 months, the new Congress, again led by a Democratic Party majority in both houses, literally ignored that message and instead voted to continue funding the war. And my position in that opinion piece, as well as the position, I think, of most peace activists, is that you can't continue to vote for a war when you say that you want peace. And specifically, I'm talking about the bill that authorized $145 billion in 2008 to allow the Bush administration to continue the policy and something that hasn't been talked about as much, these same alleged anti-war Democrats authorized another $50 billion to continue the war through 2009. So even beyond the Bush administration term in office, there's already $50 billion in the pipeline.
Sure. Well, I agree with your points, and I believe that it is inescapable that the Democrats will have to confront the ugly reality that there isn't a pretty way out of this, that there isn't an incremental way to tighten their grip on the president. This is a guy who is intentionally slippery, who doesn't recognize the constitutional separation of powers, does not respect the Congress under its new leadership, and will not come to terms with their attempt to assert their power in a polite and a moderate kind of way.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Peter. Let's just be clear. George W. Bush is an illegitimate occupant of the White House. He did not win the presidency in 2000 or 2004. In 2000, he stole the election and was installed in what can only properly be called a judicial coup d'etat. In 2004, of course, we cannot be as confident he stole the election only because we never had a full and accurate counting of the votes, not only in Ohio, but in several of the other so-called swing states. But I could not agree with you more that George W. Bush is he's a proto-fascist. He is a genuine threat to the planet and to the people. What also astounds me is the fact that the Democratic Party leadership continues to ignore the mounting evidence that this man should be impeached. But it's, again, another example of what I will call the failed leadership of the Democratic Party leadership. And I want to be clear here, Peter. The rank-and-file members of the Democratic Party are infinitely more progressive than their own elected officials and their own party officials. Day in and day out, I work with Democrat people who are self-identified registered Democrats who are peace activists, environmental justice activists, social justice activists, racial justice activists, who stay in a political party where they are marginalized and tokenized.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to be respectful of that because I want to work with them on issues. But at the end of the day, what I'm urging folks to do, if you're going to stay in the Democratic Party, you ought to at least take responsibility for your own party and try to turn that party in a more progressive direction.
Well, your comment is well taken, and even John Murtha, who cannot be described as a liberal in any stretch of that term, has acknowledged that the American people are way ahead of the elected leadership on these issues.
There's no doubt, Peter, and that's why I found it so... So really disheartening, and I mean that's the most charitable way to say that I was disheartened by the votes of the Democratic Party leadership and Democrats across Congress, arm twisting all the way by the Democratic Party leadership on that last vote. And let's take a moment to acknowledge, you know, Barbara Lee and Dennis Kucinich mm-hmm. and other genuine progressive Democrats who refused to vote to authorize continued funding of this war.
Well, I agree, and I support the Barbara Lee, Maxine Waters, Lynn Woolsey bill, and Congressman Kucinich had his own whole detailed program that he had produced well before that. And it's interesting because it's been a month now, but Mike Thompson came on the program, and I acknowledge that he's a conservative blue dog Democrat who had the wisdom to vote against the original authorization for the use of military force. He then went on to tout his bill, which parallels the Obama bill in the Senate, which is non-binding, in its request that the president consider winding down this war, and here's more money to keep it going in the meantime. And when I asked him for his position on Barbara Lee's bill, he said he hadn't read it.
Yeah, I mean, that is either a bold-faced lie, or it's quite frightening to think that he has not even bothered to read a bill that would actually end the war. Both of which actually have a very detailed plan for actually ending the war. And it's not, they're both actually quite thoughtful. And it would end the occupation, it would close the bases, and most importantly to me, it sets in motion a plan not only to bring the troops home, but brings in international peacekeepers and would stop the privatization of the Iraqi oil reserves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are concrete plans, and the reality is that neither Mike Thompson nor any of the Democratic Party leaders in the United States Congress are even willing to put that bill on the floor for an actual debate. Peter, that's how galling it is. Not only now they're claiming that they don't have enough votes to win a Troops Home Now bill. I don't know that that's true. Even if it is true, I can't understand how anybody could think that it would be harmful to the peace movement to actually have a debate and force people to debate that openly. These are our elected representatives.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're not willing to engage in that kind of open, transparent debate on the merits of ending this war really underscores to me why I am proud to be a member of the Green Party.
Now, I agree with you, but just for the sake of debate here, let me flip the coin here for a second. In the U.S. Senate, I believe that Harry Reid has played a very weak hand as strongly as he thinks he can. And he runs the daily risk that Joey Lieberman of Connecticut is going to bolt the party and caucus with the Republicans, which would remove him as the majority leader. And I'm not saying that that's an excuse totally, but I think it does enter into his thinking probably on a daily basis.
Peter, I'll admit that that is probably what's entering into Senator Reid's mindset. But for me, I'm more interested in how do we build a movement for peace, justice, ecological sustainability, and genuine democracy in this country. And what I know is this. Power concedes nothing without a demand. Never has, and it never will. Frederick Douglass said those words over 200 years ago, and it's just as true today as it was then. If we want there to be a vibrant peace movement in this country, we cannot allow Mike Thompson or any other member of the House of Representatives to take our votes for granted. So what I'm saying is that Mike Thompson and every other congressperson needs to understand that there are going to be peace candidates on the ballot in 2008. and that in 2008 the peace voice will be heard. And the sort of political personal machinations that I think you're right Harry Reid is doing really is not the sign of the kind of leader that I would like to have as a Senate Majority Leader.
Sure. You know, the other thing that I look at that I find fascinating is that we have Senator Graham, a Republican. We have Dana Perino at the White House now for Tony Snow.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been singing this song clearly off the Republican talking points that, you know, if the Democrats really want to get serious about this, they have the power of the purse and they should just cut off the funds. Don't send us these messy bills with all the pork and all the restrictions. Send us a clean bill. And if you've got the courage to do it, just cut off the funds. Well, I think that's a very interesting dare. And they wouldn't have made it if they hadn't looked at the Democrats and said, we know they'll never take this bait.
You're right, Peter. And here is the supreme irony of it. If the Democrats in Congress had the courage to take these neocons dare head on, they would have a resounding victory in 2008. I mean, the reality is that the American people are utterly sickened by the abject failures of the Bush administration. But sadly, the Democratic Party leadership is not providing a genuine alternative vision.
Yeah, David Cobb's with us. David, can you stay another segment?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. I got a couple of callers who want to talk with you about this.
Betcha.
David Cobb, as we mentioned, ran for president on the Green Party ticket 2004, and I'm grateful to him for that. We'll take a break and return. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join this chat, 888-573-8372. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
And let's take a look at traffic and tell you that we still got a bunch of problems working. And particularly, as our CHP tells us, we still got our problem in Aromas, San Juan Road at Aromas Road. It's a major injury crash. Roadway remains blocked and emergency crews remain on scene, although that very well may be now in the clearing stages. Watsonville, Mount Madonna at Hazel Dell, we have an injury crash. Car and a pickup truck reportedly blocking lanes. Emergency crews still still there. Also want to mention that Live Oaks, Soquelet, Chanticleer, we have a two-car crash reported in that particular area. And support brought to you by Office Depot. Don't risk the running out of ink and slowing down your business. Hurry into Office Depot for hundreds of ink, toner, and fax supplies, all at unbelievable prices. Get in and go to Office Depot.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you want to hear more about America's involvement in Iraq, how we contribute to the violence there, and how that could be changed if we withdraw, join us tomorrow here at 3:30 Pacific Time on the Peter B. Collins Show. Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan is a great authority on Middle East issues, and he posted a piece at thenation.com just a few days ago articulating his views about America's eventual exit from Iraq. And he says the sooner the better, the fewer people who will die overall. And he does have some caveats there about important steps we need to take, not just to pull our own troops out, but to build political consensus among the parties in Iraq and their neighbors. So Juan Cole on the program tomorrow, 3:30 Pacific, with me, Peter B. Collins. We continue now with David Cobb, Green Party presidential candidate from 2004. This was prompted by our listener and caller, Jake in Arcata, who sent me a copy of an op-ed that David Cobb wrote that was published last week in the Times Standard in Eureka. And we go to the phones now. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave.
No, this is Joe from Brookings.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have the right screen up, and I pulled up the wrong line. Joe, you're first, and we'll get to Dave in a moment. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, well, what exactly are the Democrats in Congress going to do since they don't hear anybody talking about the fact that they've seem to have given Bush the authority to attack Iran because they seem to be saying that he doesn't have to get congressional authority to attack Iran? So Bush, if and when Bush attacks Iran, what are the Democrats in Congress going to do about that?
Well, and when I asked Mike Thompson about that language, which would have required the president to come for a new authority from the Congress before an attack on Iran, why it had been stripped from the Pelosi package, he said, oh, don't worry about that. He said, there's no way we can attack Iran right now. We don't have the resources. And I said, Congressman, you're offering a rational analysis there, and these people in the White House are hardly rational. So,
well, that's never stopped Bush before.
I don't find that a confidence builder. David Cobb?
Well, I think Joe nailed it, and I think I agree with your response, Peter, and I'll build on that. You know, not only did they strip away the language that would have required reauthorization before this cowboy president went and bombed other countries, they also included the authorization to privatize Iraqi oil reserves.
Yes, they
did. This is the Democratic-controlled Congress. They didn't have to add that, but they did. So they took out something that would have made it more difficult for this president to launch yet another illegitimate war and added language to benefit the transnational oil corporations. I mean, it's pretty clear to me whose interest they're serving.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to be doing a congressional investigation on why these oil prices are rising yet again.
What is a gallon of gas in Eureka right now, Joe? Well, you're in Brookings.
Well, I'll tell you, in Brookings, it's above $3 a gallon, and in Crescent City, it's over $3.30, $3.40 a gallon.
We're $3.40 here in Humboldt County.
$3.40. Yeah, it's about the same in the Bay Area right now. All right, Joe, thanks for checking in today. Appreciate your comment. Next up, Dave. Sorry I had a false alarm for you a minute ago, Dave. You're now on.
No problem. Dear friends, we may have had a mandate last November, but according to the honest exit polls, we still had 60 seats stolen with these crooked machines. And that's one point if you want it first or if you want me to.
No, keep going, Dave. Go ahead.
I think too many members of Congress have been accepting big bucks from the war profiteers, and that weighs on their thinking right now.
Well, there's no question that there's a whole lot of money, and I think it's important. I'll point this out again. Jack Murtha, who's offered some great leadership trying to move the Democratic Party toward an exit from Iraq, he is one of the top recipients of Pentagon dollars in his campaign funds. And it certainly does affect his thinking and his posture. And there's no question that the people who've benefited the most from the war in Iraq have spread small amounts of money around in the form of campaign contributions, and it's enough catnip to keep those cats in line. David?
Well, Peter, I think let's be honest here, and let's actually take them in order. The electronic voting machines, especially those that are basically paperless machines, I have absolutely no confidence in the reported results. I agree with Dave Goggin that that is a huge problem. And I think it's also worth pointing out that with the Democratic Party in the majority positions in both houses, we have not seen a bill come forward that would actually eliminate the use of these so-called DREs, direct recording devices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very simple. A bill that would require voter-verified paper ballots of record is all it would require, and we would completely eliminate the whole black box voting phenomenon.
Yeah.
Yet that bill has not been forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's get specific about the corporate cash that's flooding Washington, D.C. I mean, most charitably, we would call those corporate contributions investments for which the corporate CEOs expect and receive a huge return on their investment. But if we were really going to be honest, we'd have to say what it really is. And, you know, we know what that is. It's bribery.
Yes, it is.
We have a system of legalized bribery in this country where both major political parties are accepting huge amounts of money from these huge transnational corporations and are basically allowing them to make the fundamental public policy decisions in this country.
Oh, yeah, the Republican Congress let them actually have their lobbyists write the bills.
Right. So I guess that we can say, well, at least the Democrats don't let them actually write the bills. They write them for them.
Yeah.
To me, that's a pale improvement.
Dave, thanks for your call. David Cobb, any chance that you could be persuaded to challenge Mike Thompson next year?
Well, let me tell you this. If Mike Thompson doesn't come around, I pledge right here, right now, on the Peter B. Collins Show that there will be a strong, aggressive peace candidate in the first district. I never make such a profound decision like this without talking to my partner and my family and friends associated.
Mm-hmm.
But I can pledge this: I'll work my darndest to find an eloquent spokesperson for peace, justice, ecology, and democracy to challenge in the first district.
Just be careful. Pete McCloskey said that, and then he had to go in and run against Pombo.
Thanks for the warning, Peter. You're a good friend.
Thank you, David Cobb. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much. And I just want to also just say thank you for providing this forum for we the people to actually have a conversation. And I certainly, as somebody who's on a lot of radio shows, I want to appreciate the fact that you let people with all different opinions.
What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. All charges have been dropped. David Evans and his two co-defendants in the Duke lacrosse case can get on with their lives.
It's been 395 days since this nightmare began. And finally today, it's come to a closure.
The three former lacrosse players could have faced up to 30 years in prison, but North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper says their accusers' claims of sexual assault just don't wash.
The contradictions in her many versions of what occurred and the conflicts between what she said occurred and other evidence like photographs and phone records could not be rectified.
He blasted Durham County DA Mike Nifong for pursuing the case, calling him a rogue prosecutor and saying caution would have served justice better than bravado. Should Don Imus be fired? MSNBC has decided the answer is yes. It will no longer simulcast his radio show. CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason says it's a big loss for the cable channel.
His program had been very successful for them. The audience was growing. It brought in $8 million in advertising revenue for MSNBC last year. But advertisers were starting to say, you know what, we can't stick with this. And MSNBC was facing growing public pressure, and they've decided that's it.
The cancellation of Don Imus' show by NBC was the right thing to do.
Al Sharpton is pushing CBS Radio to do the same. For now, the company says it will evaluate the situation during Imus' two-week suspension. American soldiers are shouldering another burden of war. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports combat deployments are being extended.
All troops will stay in the field an extra 3 months.
This policy is a difficult but necessary interim step.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates said deployments will now be 15 months.
It applies to all active duty Army forces in the Central Command area of responsibility.
That's Iraq and Afghanistan. Joint Chiefs Chairman Peter Pace says troops will stay home longer, too.
For those units that were going to be going sooner than 12 months, they will now be able to not go early.
But they denied the new rules show the Army is at a breaking point. Howard Everenstein, CBS News, Washington.
In the Senate this afternoon, a vote to ease restrictions on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research.
The yeas are 63, the nays are 34. Under the